Blog Talk Radio.
Down the hall going, ah! No. Do not blame us. Somebody do this for me. I need you guys to do Office Zelda for us. I want you to do stuff like finding toner and paper clips. You have to have a geek boss.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you'd have a geek boss to do that though, because you're probably going to get fired if you don't. And your boss can be Ganon in his office, pacing back and forth in front of his door with the music. Yeah, that'd be nice. Why, hello there, Optimus.
Good morning, Mr. Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Oh my God!
I know you said good evening right off the bat. Having a rough day, are we, Joe?
I think he missed us last night. He said, "So there's no show." I said, "No, haha, made you look."
No. But I was streaming APD. So as long as you didn't mind the cursing and everything else, yeah. So there was that.
Lovely.
Following Madcat. Hey, Madcat. Here we go. I'll give you some following love. Yay! So it's Friday, right?
Yes, and it's lunch with Ginger and Corey, and Ginger and I are both on things. Ginger's on APV, and I'm on Benadryl. I think hers is more fun than mine.
Oh, my God, the game. The game is so much fun. Oh, it does seem to my girly bit.
You know what?
Come on.
So you didn't get in your last night. Now you're trying to fit it in the morning. No, ma'am.
Do you want? Let me have fun.
No, that is unacceptable, madam. No.
What are you talking about? I still got some of my moans and stuff going on during the APB last night.
No, ma'am. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable behavior for APB. Unbecoming of a criminal.
I was hot. It was like,
See? Y'all see what I have to deal with? That's what I have to do with? Yeah.
You did watch me play a little bit of APB. Yay! Yeah, see, I'm having an issue. There's something going on between my capture software and APB. So I think it's just APB and my capture software, where all of a sudden I'll be fine. And then my headphones just make this horrible, crackly noise like they're going to try to blow out my eardrums. And somehow the sound gets lost on the...
You want for me to cut emboss?
Huh?
You want for me to cut emboss?
Yes, I do, because, oh my God,
I can't breathe through one nostril. Okay. Was that better? Are you happy now, lungs? We took in some oxygen. No. No? All right.
No. Mm-mm,
I'll be
no.
there.
No, I've got enough oxygen. All right, so I guess we're kind of here for news, a little bit of news, right? Tiny bit?
Do we have to?
Probably need to.
Well, can I? May I? May
kitty,
I just...
you shush. Yes, may... yes, yes. Well, I'm about to throw a shoe at a kitty.
Do you know anybody that owns a Surface? Anybody out there own a Surface, Microsoft Surface tablet? Yeah, apparently not many of us own them at all. Because hey, back with the text messages. Microsoft Surface tablet.
Tinger harder, tinger harder.
This is out of control. I hate when the text messages go down and they come back up and then I start getting like 50, so you'll probably hear a lot of that. Okay, so Surface tablet has only sold around 1.5 million units, just over 1 million of Surface RT model and only 400,000 of the Surface Pros, according to a report from Bloomberg, which cites three unnamed sources. Sales of the Surface's two models are significantly below expectations. Microsoft had ordered the product of 3 million Surface RTs alone, expecting to sell about 2 million units in the quarter four of last year. The Surface RT launched in October 2012, with the Surface Pro following in February this year. The device is a bold attempt by Microsoft to take a piece of the burgeoning tablet market by dominating its great rival, Apple. And it offset the decline. Also to offset the decline in PC shipments. However, these figures are correct. The Surface still has a long way to go. Apple sold 22.9 million iPads last year. Woo!
2.9.
Yeah, they way outsold the Surface. Indeed, Microsoft Windows Phone operating system is also suffering from poor reception, along with its key hardware partners. But for some reason, a lot of you are listening to GGR via your Windows iPhones. I was looking this morning. I don't know what it is about us and the Windows iPhones. Ooh, I said that all wrong. The Windows phones. Woo! A lot of you are listening to us via that. So thank you. Thank you.
Yay!
There's a lot. There's a lot of them, more than anywhere. Weird. considering people don't like the phone. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal at the Galaxy S4 launch event yesterday, which they sent us info about in a picture, a very small picture, Samsung, something is wrong with you people, newly appointed co-CEO J.K. Shen played down the company's partnership with Microsoft. See now? Oh, God. Remember when...
Microsoft too.
I don't know you. Don't stand next to me. They remember
was
coming out and they were throwing this big hoopla. How dare you, Microsoft? How dare you? And you're stealing a piece of our market. And then when they start doing badly, oh, we don't know them. Now, see, in January, Samsung decided not to launch its line of AT tablets supporting Windows RT in the U.S. and a number of European markets, citing a lack of demand and customer confusion. And they said, of course, there is a preference in the market for Android right now. In Europe, they're seeing lackluster demand for Windows-based products. I'm going to tell you what the problem is here. Windows 8 is the freaking problem. I absolutely hate Windows 8. I hate Windows 8 more than I hate Vista and ME combined. That's how much I hate Windows 8.
Yeah, I had to dig up my old Windows 7 update CD and kind of had to finagle me a way to make it work, because I was not going to install that crappy, worthless OS onto my pretty shiny new computer. They were like, no, we don't sell Windows 7 anymore. And I was like, well, you know what? All I have is an update, and I'm going to make that work.
I know. I think you all should have kept Windows 8 on the tablet. I think it works there. It does not work on the computer. It does not work. I am tired of little old ladies crying in my ear, and I'm not exaggerating when I say crying, because they updated from XP to Windows 8, and they have no idea what is going on their computer. They can't find their internet. They can't find their grandkids' pictures. They got young people that call in that are upset. They're like, I don't know how to get to my control panel.
Really?
It is
really
no. On Windows 8 is confusing. I mean, think if you updated from XP to Windows 8. Remember, you went from XP to 7 to Windows 8. Okay.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. You didn't go to Windows 8 at all, right?
I had Vista.
You had Vista. Well, okay. You went along the stair steps. Okay. We're talking. They skipped Vista. They skipped Windows 7. They're straight into 8, and there's not a ton of difference between XP, Vista, and 7, but there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like the size of the Grand Canyon difference between XP and Windows 8, and Windows 8 It has no semblance. It does not resemble any previous incarnation of Windows. You could have eased us into this over the next few incarnations is what you should have done. You know, we'll give you an app, you know, a page where if you click this, it'll open all apps and you can download it. But it's not going to be the page because that's what's getting the people. I've even talked to, there was a guy who was extremely techie. He ran his own IT company, and he was like, he gets confused with Windows 8. He doesn't mm-hmm. like that the tiles update constantly. It's like overstimulation, people.
Exactly. And
I don't need everything flashing at me all at once because I'm trying mm-mm. to see what's going on. Wait a minute. You got, and we're not talking about one or two. You know, I can pretty much handle two or three things. Like I can have my Second Life open and The Sims and APB at the same time. And maybe even have them, you know, running in windowed mode so I can see all of them. But when you start getting into 9 and 12 and 15 tabs, oh,
oh
no.
Good God, that would annoy.
Yeah.
See, because even here during the show, I have, like, god-awful number of stuff open right now.
Yeah.
It's three screens full of stuff. So, and that is hard for me to handle some days, as y'all see when I'm trying to run the videos. And
wait just, a minute.
Yeah, all over the place.
And
I can't
tile
imagine.
Mine, so, and I do tile mine, so it's not different from the browser, but it's not different from the browser and the layout. The difference is they're all constantly updating. Like, you're sitting there, and then something moves, and you're like, oh, what's that? And then when that would move, something else moves, and then you're just kind of all over the place. And now you imagine if you're 75 and this is going on.
Yeah. Especially these people who didn't grow up with computers and don't use them every day. It can be
it's overwhelming.
Daunting. It can be scary.
It's overwhelming, and they know they have to do this stuff because that's the world you live in. You have to use a computer. So, and I'm literally telling you, these little old ladies called in, they're in tears because they don't know what's going on. They're like, I should have stayed with my XP, and I asked for Windows 7, but they wouldn't give it to me. And I was like, sorry.
I know. Seriously, and that angers me because Windows 7 only came out, what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, they didn't give us any time to switch.
No, and then just like out of the blue, it was gone. I mean, cause Windows 7 just came out, really want to say, only like 2 years ago. I don't think it was. I think it was in like a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah, I felt
maybe
like
it was
4 months, because that's what, remember, we were
and
talking
about. And now you can't buy it, and it's like, I want the choice.
Yep.
I don't want your crappy Windows 8. That thing is worthless. Stop it.
I'm just going to stick with my XP, and y'all don't support it. That's fine. That's why I'm going to start spending some time with some Linux. I'm just going to start learning how to use it. I don't have much of a choice. I refuse to do Windows 8. I'd rather do Linux. I really would.
Yeah. I'll wait for Windows 9, because we all know, you know, even odd.
Y'all suck. Windows, great company to work for. Your software is sucking right now. You almost made me want to go to a Mac, and I don't even like Macs that much.
Well, I like Windows 7, so don't badmouth my Windows 7. I like it.
Oh, no, I like Windows 7, but you can't.
Vista was complete crap, but
dude, the Vista computer here in the house is collecting dust. Nobody wants to touch
it. No, I liked XP. Vista sucked. I don't remember what the one before Vista was.
I don't know how to tell y'all this, but I'm downloading Wendash, and I'm very sorry.
Oh, no, look away from me, look away.
Too late, it's already downloaded.
Oh, no, look away. All right, so I have
late,
to talk
Ginger.
About... no, all right, well, maybe I can distract you. There's finally a guy out there, a congressman, who's, you know, preaching what I've been saying. And he's kind of cute. Congressman Duncan Hunter says, target bad parenting, not video games. Man, after my own heart. Earlier in the week, Congressman Duncan Hunter, a Republican from California, I think, penned an editorial over at Politico that takes aim at parenting and deflects the idea that video games are too violent. Are to blame for violent crimes in America. Hunter avoids the tropes of Republicans usually rely on when talking about when talking about parenting, like having a traditional family, mom and a dad, or the worn-out catchphrase of family values. Instead, he talks about how parents either use media to raise their children.
All right. I am not sure if you all can hear me or Ginger or what happened. But it looks like we may have lost her. I'm not sure. Tweet me. Let me know if you can hear us or at least hear me, and I will pick up and carry because I'm not sure what's going on. I think Skype is being a pain in the butt today. Let me see if she's still on. Nope, she's not on Twitch, so I think we just lost Ginger. What did y'all do to the Ginger? Poor baby. All right. Well, let me get my next story up that I had a different, so I had a different one ready. Ha ha, fun. All right, again, so I restarted the show. I think we have either lost Ginger or something, or she might have dropped connection. So I'm going to move along until she gets back. She is going to be a very unhappy little girl, just so y'all know, when she comes back. She's going to be all in the high register. You might want to cover your ears. Anyway, game sales here in the U.S. have dropped 25% just in February. Despite EA topping the charts with Dead Space 3 and Crysis, they're saying game sales were very, very miserable. Ginger, I don't know if you're there. I see a little face popping up like you're trying to speak, but can't hear you. Last year saw a fairly precipitous decline for game sales in at U.S. retail, and so far this year is not any better. January did see an inflated positive result due to five-week NPD reporting period. And today, NPD's report on February has revealed a brutal 25% drop in industry sales, with a total coming in at $810 million. Software sales, including PC, dropped 27%. All right, because Jen's little face is still popping up. I'm going to drop her and then add her back, because she's saying something, and I know she's yelling. Oh, we might have lost her altogether, guys. She's not even on my list anymore. No, Ginger! We cannot get her back. Anyway, NPD industry analyst Liam Callahan commented that there was the same number of February... unlike January, February had very few new titles, and EA seemed to benefit most as Dead Space 3 and Crysis took the top and third places, respectively. Interestingly, Activision's Call of Duty Black Ops 2 still managed to grab second place months after its launch. NPD industry analyst Liam Callahan commented that though there was the same number of February launches in the top 10 ranking as last February, collectively, February launches performed worse than last year, with unit sales down by 30%. He also added that Activision's success with Skylanders has continued to help bolster the market. When combining the dollar value of Skylanders software as well as the accessories, the property has generated over $600 million in the U.S. since launch in October 2011. It also sold $35 million in February alone. It will be interesting to watch how the dynamic of physical goods delivering digital content evolves on the launch of Disney's Infinity later this year. On the hardware front, while Xbox 360 continues to do well, Callahan did note that Wii U and Vita finally saw some increases. Hardware sales on average per week basis were increased, and all platforms showed an increase from January to February, speculatively. New platforms like the Wii U and PS Vita demonstrated some momentum from the typical January hardware lull, with increases of over 40% and 30%, respectively. Some of the games that were top 10 selling games for February. There she goes.
Yay! Oh, my gosh.
Yes, Dead Space 3 was top spot for February. Call of Duty Black Ops coming in second, and Crysis 3. Then NBA 2K13, Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance, Aliens, Colonial Marines 2013, Just Dance 4, Far Cry 3, Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, and Madden NFL 13, none of which I have any desire whatsoever to play. So, yeah, those are, I'm sorry, we were talking about, Ginger, the sales, game sales this year are down
25%,
and those are the games that were the best-selling ones, and I can see why it's down 25%. I'm sorry, all those games are what I call boring games. They have, they didn't do, I don't remember their ads. I mean, maybe Far Cry, but it didn't, you know, they didn't, none of those do anything for me. I don't remember.
No, no, they're not really our thing, are they?
I was like, oh. Ginger, did we lose you totally? People were angry. They were threatening me. You better get Ginger.
Yeah. It was awful. I was like, I was here, and then, like, all I saw was that Steam was trying to update.
Oh.
And I stopped, and, like, next thing I know is nothing was working. Nothing.
Steam is like, no, I'm sorry. I was like, what happened? I thought it was me.
I
started yelling at Baby Nature. You turn that Minecraft off right now.
No. Wasn't her. It was all on my side. I don't, seriously, I think it was just the Steam update, because I saw the Steam update try to come through, and I was like, really? I don't even have you open.
You see, and you think the Steam box is going to be out, and see, you see what I'm saying? They're starting to screw up. You just stay in your lane sometimes.
But they need to fix it, because that was ridiculous. All right, so did y'all hear anything of what I said? Because I don't know when it locked up.
I don't remember what you were saying last.
All right, well, let's just jump right back in. Pretty much, there's a cutie out there, new congressman, Duncan Hunter. And he's saying target bad parenting, not video games. What did he say? He's saying also overlooked is the obligation of parents and caretakers to exercise proper oversight of their children. Video games are present in millions of homes nationwide. They are there for the purpose of entertainment, the same way different types of literature and music have entertained past generations, and new forms will continue to grab the attention of future generations. Targeting video games as the problem is nothing more than a distraction from the broader challenges presented by improper parenting and from more obvious triggers of violence. So the implication that video games are damaging is worthy as a criticism of parents. Video games are meant to entertain and even teach in some cases. I'm going to lose my voice. I kid you not. They are not intended to be replacements for good parenting. For those who view video games that way, they have some serious rethinking to do. He goes on to point out the decision that the Supreme Court came to in Brown v. EMA, and a recent study showing a decline in violence around the world, even as video game sales continue to increase. He sums up his thoughts, and he says, this all underscores an important point. Video games are not precursors to violence, so let's stop pretending. Sorry, my phone blinked at me. So let's stop pretending that an entertainment medium is the cause of the problem. Let's look for solutions in the real world, not the virtual one. Hey, effing men, put down your coffee, put down your Facebook, put down your phone. Stop watching those orange, whatever you call them, from Jersey Shore. And talk to your kids. Find out what your kids are up to. Play with your kids. Do something with your kids, you know? Don't just leave them in front of a computer or an Xbox, PS3, whatever it may be, for hours on end. Parents, you're flipping crotch fruit.
Does that mean I should pull Baby Natrix from in front of the Minecraft right now because she is having a problem? Baby Natrix, you have a problem. You're on Minecraft. She's coming towards me. Run.
I can't help it. Minecraft is amazing. And
so you hear that? You don't understand the game, do you?
I'm trying to think of a good excuse. What is it? Spatial. She's learning spatial reasoning or something.
She says, I'm just too young to understand. You know what?
Too young to understand?
Too young to understand. I'll take that. Away with you, Minecrackian. Go over there. She says,
there are endermen to be slain, Mom.
Ginger says, you have endermen to slay. Did you hear that? Ginger, you did this. It's not nighttime yet.
I did not.
It's not nighttime yet.
All right.
Ooh, I'm not playing with y'all. Okay. Is it time for the sales? It's time for me to do the sales because I'm all excited because I see some stuff.
Oh, I mean, it's Friday. Oh, my God. I forgot we were doing that on Friday. My bad.
Time for the sales. Wait a minute. I lost one page. I had two pages of sales for you all, not just the Steam ones, but I'm going to get back to that other one in just a second. Wait a minute. What is going on here? We're having some technical difficulties. Stand by one moment.
I know, right?
Okay, there we go. All right, so on Steam this week, you people, you have little cash this week. Some of you are getting paid. So you're like, oh, whatever. I'll spend whatever I want. I'll buy something else.
Mm-hmm.
But in the stead that you are looking for something to play that you haven't before and you want to keep your pockets lined, you know, you can get a game and Starbucks this weekend instead of just the game. And you could, or you can get a game and take your boyfriend to the movies this week if you listen to these sales every Friday. So today on Steam, Left 4 Dead 2, $4.99.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you never played Saints Row the Third, $7.49. Let me go down. My Tropico that I love so much, they have a special Steam edition on sale. Mm-hmm. $7.49.
Really?
On Steam.
That's not bad. I might actually have to play it because you said it's just amazing.
But you don't like simulators, so you might not get you, might not pull you in. If you've never played,
true.
You, it's better than Omerta. I'm sorry, Omerta. I'm sorry. You dropped the ball on the. I didn't like the turn-based fighting. I'd rather just give it to me real time so I can move. But anyway, those of you who never played Assassin's Creed 3, I'm sorry. No, that's not the one I was going for. It is Assassin's Creed 3. It's on sale for $32.49, and Assassin's Creed 2 Deluxe is $12.99. Guns of Icarus, which you've heard us rave about, if you pop over to Green Man Gaming, they have it for $4.99.
Really?
Yes, yes.
These sales are nice.
I like these sales, right?
So much cheaper. I mean, hell, you could buy two or three games for the price of going out to the movies, just one movie.
Yep, sit down. And if you get one of these, like I'm going to throw you another Tropico on Steam, the trilogy for Tropico, the original one, $4.99. That's three games, people, for $4. Three. Just telling you.
Hmm.
What else do we have on this list? I had my other page open. This is the one I'm getting the Dino Dash from, by the way. Sorry. I could not help myself. Wait a minute. Oh, Rocksmith. If you never picked that one up, you guys remember Rocksmith? If you have the guitar to play, but if you have a Guitar Hero guitar, it should work with Rocksmith. It's $20. DLC for Tropico 4, which I am getting right after this show, for $1.24. If you already have Tropico 4, you can add the Vigilante DLC and the Megalopolis DLC. $1.24, people. And they have all of them. Pirate Haven, $1.24. Wanta Military DLC, $1.24. Plantador, $1.24. There's tons of these. Anyway, wow. I'm Alive. Oh, it dropped down on Steam. It's $9.74. Green Man Gaming has Unstoppable Gorg, which we reviewed here a long time ago. And this one's a good one for iPad. It's a tower defense game that I actually liked, and I tend to get bored with those quickly. And that's usually Blaster's thing. He loves tower defense. So, but this one was excellent on the iPad. One of the better games I played, Unstoppable Gorg, and it's $2.49. So if you like tower defense or something that's a little different kind of tower defense, because it's not laid out in a grid, it's in space, so you can move your things wherever you want to, not just in the path. Ginger, we didn't lose you, did we?
No, I think I'm here, and I show that I have sound.
Yeah, there, I hear you. Okay, now those of you who never played this game, which is a classic, and they're working on the second one, and you probably are having a hard time finding this one because they stopped printing it, you can get it from Steam. Beyond Good and Evil is $4.99, and that is one of the best games ever, starring a girl, Jade. Oh, Ginger, if you haven't played that one, you got to play that one. One of the best games. Oh, wow. Then I'm going to do a couple more, and then we're going to get back to our news, but I was excited to look at that.
Okay.
You got Creavers. I'm not sure what that is at Green Man Gaming. That's $1.24 if you want to go check that out. You people that like Heroes, Might, and Magic, also on Steam for $5.99. Still Life 2, which I told Ginger about. Steampunk, girl. Steampunk, $14.99. Still Life 2.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. And that's on Green Man Gaming, not Steam. And I got one more for you I had down here. Oh, why is Virtual Families $9? I'm just curious. Y'all should be a dollar, like, all the time. Don't get me wrong.
I know, right?
Good game, but it's nerve-wracking. Sometimes the real-time thing is nerve-wracking. Splinter Cell, for those of you who never played the original Splinter Cell, which, oh, no, I'm sorry, this is Splinter Cell Conviction. You might want to skip that one. It's $12.99 if you must have it. Anyway, enjoy your weekend. If you want some more sales, I'm kind of watching this all day because the good thing about these is they fluctuate, so they'll change. If you want to know some more sales or you want me to look up something for you, you're kind of stuck at work, you can't really open stuff, I'll do it for you. Ask me. I'll do it. I'm sitting right here. Well, that's if I'm in front of the computer. Sometimes I'm out elsewhere doing stuff that I will not mention on the air. Anyway. Stop it.
All right. So much for them trying to keep Sin City as always online.
Uh-oh.
There's a new mod out there, and I'm showing you a video right now.
Ooh.
A new SimCity mod detailed in a YouTube video and later explained in depth on a Reddit thread reveals that it is possible to play SimCity offline indefinitely. Despite those caveats, the mod shows that the game can easily be transitioned from an always connected game to an offline single player game, despite what both EA and Maxis have said. According to modder UK Azer, he was able to do this with a little bit of work and by enabling the game's secret debug mode.
See, that's why you beta test longer, EA.
This allowed him to turn off the disconnection timer limit. He explains it's a little bit... I can't talk. I'm tongue-tied. He explains it a little bit over in the Reddit thread, which I will tweet out to you later. Work's a treat. Yeah, that's what he said. No region stuff, of course. You have to stay in your city. And there's no way to save the city unless you reconnect. But it's something. The 20 minutes Kotaku reported on being able to stay playing for before being kicked to main menu for no connection is a random figure the devs put in. Very odd. So obviously the game would not be able to use the regional stuff. And, of course, you can't save the game. But you can build an enormous city and toy around with it for an unlimited number of hours. He answers a question about how difficult it would be to remove the online requirements altogether. He says, don't know about totally, but I'm experimenting with hacking and ways to spoof it into claiming the city without sending that info to the server, loading that city data up from local data, and enabling editing so you can edit the city and pick a region square all offline. Still don't think I can find any simple way to save it yet, but it'll be a start. Whether I take it any further than that or leave that to the real hardcore coders, hackers, with more time on their hands, I don't know. So,
that's the thing about I don't understand about EA Maxis is they make good games. Their games are for the most part easy to hack into. I remember playing The Sims 2, and there was a problem with the clock in The Sims where it would, you know, even when you selected the U.S. clock time, it would give you the U.K. time. And even some of the U.K. people, like, when they're playing their Sims, for it to have U.S. time. And it was relatively easy to go in and hack the game. And when I say easy, it took, you know, less than 2 minutes to go in, hack the game, and change it so that it showed U.S. time. And there are people that are – they make their games so that they can be modded, but then they try to do stuff like this not knowing – or not, it's not occurring to them, or maybe it is. Maybe they do it on purpose where, you know, you can go in and fix it relatively easy. You know, see how many days this took this guy. It didn't take him long at all to make an offline mod. And I'm going to dare say probably by the end of the weekend, he will have figured out to make it stay offline permanently. And then guess what, EA? People are going to start pirating your game. They're just going to pirate it because once that connection to the server is gone, there's nothing. There's nothing that you could do. You can't. They don't need to be logged in. You can't stop them from pirating. Then, so if you just left this alone, they would have no reason to go looking for this in the first place. Which, you know, makes it a little difficult.
Exactly.
To, not, you know, less chance people pirating are being angry about. You know, this is. I don't know what is it with the companies or with the DRM. We need to put DRM in. It does not stop pirating. It never did. I'm gonna tell y'all when Spore came out. A developer at EA pointed me to a hack of Spore that was floating around on the internet. They were sending it to me, yes. So, you know, legally I had it legal. Well, I can't even say legal because they told me to do it. It was illegal where they sent me to get it. But, you know, and then they sent me the copy a few days later. But it was out. It's already out there. And even that one, you know, I could turn off the DRM on. It was supposed to be on all the time. He even told me how to do it. So I don't know what's going on with EA with this and Ubisoft. And just leave it alone. People don't always want to be connected. I want or at least give me the option. Some people like to. Like when I'm playing The Sims 3, I love harassing Joe. If I know he's online, I keep sending Joe gifts because I know it's going to pop up and telling me he has a present. When I, the few times I've caught him on, my cousin, same thing. You know, if I catch her online when we're playing The Sims and I see them, then I'll talk to them. And sometimes I like when people send random messages. I have a couple of people, well, quite a few people that have downloaded my homes, and they see me online and they go, oh, you're the one that built this house. I love your house and blah, blah, blah. That's fun. But, and when I don't want to be bothered, I click the little button and I log out and nobody talks to me. So why can't you give player the option? Baby, I feel like being connected today, and tomorrow I just want to build my city in peace.
Exactly, exactly. But no, because somebody might hack it. Well, you know what? They're going to hack it even more now.
And Steam is out of control with theirs because now they're forcing you to update. You just turned on your computer. I told you they did that to me the other day, didn't I? I told you I opened up the laptop to play Tropico, and they were like, oh, update. And I hadn't even clicked anything yet. I was like, why is my Steam updating? I didn't even touch it.
I know. I was like, what is going on? Because, I mean, I've been talking away, everything went fine, and then just poof.
Hey, Ural.
Hi, Ural.
Hi, Ural.
How you doing?
Me and Ural had a funny conversation last night. He's quite hilarious.
Ural, APB, just saying, I got a pink van. It has candy in it.
He's like, I'm coming, not yet. We're going to have to collect the PC fund. We're going to do I'm explaining to y'all what Susu is after the show. We're going to start a Susu thing for computers so everybody can have upgraded computers. Everybody in? Everybody in? Good. All right.
That's
fine. is it my turn again? No, it's your turn, teacher. Stop letting me ramble. I'm on Benadryl.
Is it my turn? I thought it was your turn. But all right, anyways, I'll go ahead. Nintendo loses 3DS patent infringement case, ordered to pay ex-Sony engineer $30.2 million.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody took down Nintendo? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Nintendo has lost a patent infringement lawsuit filed by Tomita Technologies and has been ordered to pay $30.2 million. The patent...
Hello. Oh, girl, you can't go quiet. I know.
People dinging me. The patent relates to glasses-free 3D displays, which Sajiro Tomita claims Nintendo used to develop its 3DS handheld after a 2003 meeting with the plaintiff, where he introduced the technology to engineers within the company. Nintendo has been ordered to pay $30.2 million in damages to Tomita Technologies after a jury found that the company infringed on a patent for glasses-free 3D glasses-free 3D displays. Last month in federal court, lawyers for Tomita argued that he had met with several Nintendo research and development engineers in 2003 to show off a prototype of his technology. Nintendo countered during the case that Tomita's technology was one of the many potential vendors that it met with during that time period. The judge overseeing the case sided with Tomita, noting similarities between the 3DS stereoscopic display and the one described in Tomita's patent. While the ruling is pretty bad for Nintendo, it pales in comparison to what Tomita had initially asked the court for, which was over $292 million, or $9.80 for every Nintendo 3DS sold. Nintendo said in a statement that it was confident that the results will be set aside and that the jury's verdict will not impact Nintendo's continued sales in the United States. No, you're going to continue to sell, I'm sure, but wow. I'm not so sure about that verdict being set aside.
You know, like we told them when we were reading the story, you really should have... Is it St. Patrick's Day?
No. 17.
I had a moment. 17. I had a moment. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, we got stuff to do.
No, my brother and my nephew's birthday are also that green day. So, happy birthday.
Got stuff to do. But we told that guy, you know, when you go to visit a big company, NDA is your friend. All right, speaking of more people that are in trouble, the DOJ is bringing charges against Reuters social media editor for conspiring with Anonymous.
Oh, no.
Yes. And we have talked about this guy before. All right. So VentureBeat is reporting that Reuters deputy social media editor Matthew Keyes, that's right, we send your name all out on the air, that's right, was indicted for allegedly giving hackers access to the servers of his former employer, the Tribune Company. Tribune owns the LA Times. Yeah, that place. which the anonymous hacker subsequently defaced. According to the indictment, Keyes chatted with an anonymous hacker and offered credentials to log into the Tribune servers after the hacker explained that system administrators had caught and blocked him. Keyes identified himself on the chat as AES Cracked. After supplying the access, the hacker then defaced a feature story in the LA Times, changing the headline, byline, and subline to include variations on the name Chippy 1337. He also edited a line to say, House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer sees very good things in the deal cut, which will see Uber skid Chippy 1337 take his rightful place as head of the Senate. Reluctant House Democrats told to suck it up. Today's indictment is new, but allegations against Keyes have been around for a while. As Gizmondo pointed out, Sabu, the reported anonymous leader who worked with the FBI to take down a number of key figures in the Loose organization, accused Keyes of being involved 2 years ago.
Sabu, man, I sincerely hope they're moving you to another country with a new name and everything, because...
He even tweeted,
wow.
Cracked, Matt Keyes was former producer for the Tribune sites, gave full control of the LATimes.com to hackers, and according to the indictment, Keyes could face up to 10 years in jail, 3 years of supervised release, and a $250,000 fine.
Ow!
Ooh, and that's also thanks to Politico and LA Times hack for those stories. Yeah. Matthew, you can't be working at the company and then go after people. When you do that, you kind of have to go Beatrix Kiddo and just go straight to them. You can't be having other people involved. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
You have to be in their face, because that's the only way that it's legal. I didn't say kill them or anything, but you have to be in their face when you're going to do stuff like that to them. You can't go behind their backs. I had quit a job once upon a time years ago and worked in an office with a boss who was crazy. And I had gone in and cleaned up his office and, you know, got his computer up to speed and done everything to help. And I was fired for something someone else did, even though I was, you know, proved it was not me. So before I left, I did not go and find somebody to do this. I walked right into my office and I formatted the hard drive, putting it back the way I found it. Dumped the files out back the way I found them, and then I said, thank you, have a good day.
Hell yeah, there you go.
I can't be arrested for that. They're like, well, you were there when you saw her doing it, why didn't you ask her to stop? just go straight in there if you're going to do it.
Exactly.
No, quit hiring people, getting yourself jail time. Let them know if you're angry. You don't have to shoot, kill, or stab anybody, so...
Exactly.
Matthew, and the LA Times of all people to go after. Oh, come on.
All right. Okay, so if I can get this video going, here we go. Game Masters today announces that the latest free expansion for Cable Online, Episode 9, Rising Force, is available for download, and players from all over Europe can enjoy it from now. The expansion is available in English, German, French, Spanish, Italian, and Turkish. The new Episode 9, Rising Force, introduces exciting new features in the game, a new PvP mode, and an amazing new dungeon and a revamped skill system. Upcoming new features, amongst others, is the new free expansion. A new mission battle system will be added, a ranked cross server, 1v1 daily PvP battle on a brand new battleground.
Ooh.
A brand new dungeon will be available, the Tower of the Dead B3F.
Perfect, Ginger. Perfect timing. That popped up right when you said it. Perfect.
Very nice. The skill system will be revamped, bringing new effects and skills such as domination,
rawr,
silence, dodge, pierce, immunity, evasion, and damage reflection. Brand new combat skills will be added to the existing classes. The stat system will be changed and increased monster toughness. There will be a huge number of new achievements to unlock. A new essence rune will be available for crafters, and the honor and bringer titles will be changed. Players interested in starting or continuing their adventures in Cable Online, whether in English, German, French, Spanish, Italian, or Turkish, can register and start playing over at cableonline.com.
Okay, I'm confused. They had a date of 13/03/2013. Are you trying to be facetious there, Game Masters?
I don't know. They say it's today, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? It's the UK date, so it's the 13th.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
I was like, what kind of? There's no 13th.
Yeah. You know, the UK boys, they're a little strange. The numbers.
They flop it around. They go date once a year.
They do like to try to confuse us.
You cannot play this game after taking Benadryl. Those things were flashing, and I was freaking out for a second. I was having a... I didn't know what to do. Should I run, scream? See, this is why you don't do drugs, kids.
This has nothing to do with games. So you gotta read that. Oh, my God.
Okay, run my my first...
Iron Studios?
No, my Civilization.
Okay.
I gotta tell them about Civilization, because that's the game right there. I've been trying to avoid that on Facebook. I have been avoiding on Facebook because, yeah, one of our cohorts. One of our fellow podcasters from another podcast we started playing Civ like last year on Facebook, and we were hooked for a couple days. It was bad. And I said, I can't play here. I can't. It's like Civ. Have you ever played Civilization?
I don't think so. And you know what? I think I'm running the wrong.
You're running the wrong trailer, woman.
It happened.
It's a web page. Let me just drop it for you.
Yeah. It was the wrong one. I got it. Well, no, I don't. Come on, copy. Copy selection.
Play right.
Go. There we go.
All right. Well, wait a minute. That's Teen Dies. That's eating a cookie.
I changed it. Give it a second. Because that was the link that I was giving you that I just tripped across while I was looking for more news. And I was like, oh, my God.
Don't tell me that because I love cookies. All right, but
it doesn't have peanuts in it. And then fed it to his friend who had a peanut allergy and killed him.
Oh, man. Well, if you have not played Civ on Facebook, this is what I think EA was trying to do with SimCity, but it only works with Civ because of the way that Civ is. And 2K has announced that Sid Meier's Civ 5 Brave New World, which is a second expansion pack for the award-winning Civilization 5, is currently in development, and they're planning on releasing it this summer for the PC and for the Mac. It's supposed to bring some new gameplay experience, giving you blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, we don't really care about that. What does it do? It's supposed to give you some new depth, replayability through the introduction of international trade and a focus on culture and diplomacy. The player's influence around the world will be impacted by creating a number of great works across a variety of crafts, choosing an ideology for your civilization, and proposing global resolutions in the New World Congress. As players move through the ages of history, you'll be able to make critical decisions that influence relationships with civilizations in the game world. Also, they're saying after adding a number of new features to the Civ 5 and the Gods and Kings expansion, the team continued to search for ways to create even more exciting gameplay through new systems and features. And this is from Firaxis Games, who's been around forever. And we don't ever hear any problems out of them. They do their games, they make their money, and that's it. There's no scandal. They don't cheat the players, you know. And, yeah, anyway. This is supposed to come with 9 new civilizations whenever it comes out, each with unique traits, units, buildings, and leaders, including Casimir III of Poland, if you like history. There's a new culture victory. You can spread your culture across the globe, dominating all other cultures. Rawr. Create masterpieces with great artists, writers, and musicians that are placed in key buildings across your empire, like museums, opera houses, and great library. You also have a World Congress, that deals with the importance of diplomacy from city-state alliances, so on and so forth, international trade routes. You got new 8 wonders, including the Parthenon Broadway. That means you're going to go all the way up to, you know, close to new times. And the Ifuzi? I don't know what the Ifuzi is. Anybody know what that is? Ifuzi?
No.
I'm going to have to look that up. Something I don't know. U-F-F-I-Z-I.
Is that like a sponge?
It's some kind of wonder of the world.
Ifuzi sponge. I don't know.
So, anyway, if you have not played, this one's going to be, they haven't rated it from ESRB. I'm probably thinking it's going to be E. They don't really get too hardcore. Again, it'll be available for your PC and your Mac. If you want to get a taste of it, you can play Civ on Facebook because, again, theirs is a persistent world on Facebook. It works there. I don't know why it works so well there. I actually enjoyed it. Well, you know what? I can't say that. I like the... Yes, you know what? EA did try to do this. In Civ on Facebook, it is real time. So if I'm playing with Ginger and you have something going on in your city, it's not like regular Facebook game. You know, it's actually scrolling across my screen. You know, Ginger's, you know, has five whatever disciples in your city right now, and I can actually zoom in and see them walking in, and you know, and then talk back and forth with you or form an alliance with you, and we can go after so and so. It's all real time, kind of like our other game that we liked, but it's much more dealing, you know, with the historical buildings and things. And I think that's what they were trying to do with SimCity, but it doesn't work when you force people to do it. See how I can stop playing? I can stop playing on Facebook and go somewhere else if I don't want to play. Yeah, stop it.
Yes. All right. Stop it, people. All right, let me get this trailer going because I have to say this just mainly because I think the name of it is hilarious. Laputa. Laputa. Oh, God, the joys of language. Anyways, six classes confirmed for upcoming magical web RPG. In Games, a leading online games developer and publisher has today revealed that the six classes players can choose from.
Weeding. Okay, I'll
tell you about Laputa. No idea. Combining RPG gameplay with classic enemy elements, Tales of Laputa thrust players into a bright new world, where magic and machinery coexist and the threat of demonic invasions is an ever-present danger. Players in Tales of Laputa will have six classes to choose from when they begin their adventure: warrior, wizard, sniper, priest, mage, and assassin. I wonder if they're going to release this in, you know, Latin countries. Anyways, warriors are the class that depend on brute strength in battle and wield their sword with great power. They are well-versed in battle tactics and are the masters of the most effective fighting and survival skills. A good warrior must make use of various tactics, cooperate with different battle companions, and actively take the role of tank in the team. Wizards are experts of psychic power and use a totem as a weapon. They bring endless nightmares to enemies as they take control of both body and mind. Wizards are not the most deadly, but their debuffs and powers are extremely powerful. Snipers are masters of firearms and specialize in dealing large amounts of damage from range. However, as deadly as they are from range, they are vulnerable and require protection from enemies to be most effective. Priests are good at supporting and healing other team members. It is said that their power is bestowed by the god of Morius, and as such, they are regarded as the embodiment of benevolence and redemption. The best priest can keep a team alive for as long as necessary to defeat enemies. And mages use wands to turn spirit into destructive power. Their incredibly powerful attacks require a plentiful supply of mana, but the speed at which they can decimate opponents is unparalleled. And finally, assassins. Assassins are proficient with daggers and adept at dealing quick, deadly strikes in the key spots of their enemies. Well-trained assassins can strike and kill before the target is even aware of their presence. Yay! All right, so these are the six new varied classes from Laputa. Tales of Laputa. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, because here in Tex-Mex language, that's not a very nice thing to say.
It is not.
Not at all. So I'm not giggling. Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. Last time when we were doing the, we were talking about this.
I know, and it's totally why I pulled it up, too, when I saw it. I was like, I have to do this. It's because in the back of my head, I'm remembering being told, you're not supposed to say that.
And I was like, Ginger, we has to.
I know. Okay, you ready?
You know what? I'm not ready. Since we did the, we had the whole dropping thing, I have lost the story. I have.
Well, I have the trailer.
Oh, you know what? There it is. Okay, give me a minute, people. This is from Iron Sun Studio. Who says they are busy at work promoting their highly unique 2.5D underwater action adventure, which you're looking at, called Fathom. This is an incredible game, and it's currently seeking funds via Kickstarter. That's right, they're looking for your cash to go into their pocket. It's a highly unique title combining the very best of puzzle solving and exploration, all wrapped in a gorgeous and visually unique steampunk Ginger environment. Iron Sun is proud to announce that the work has completed on the game's first two levels, and work has begun on the third. And to celebrate this milestone, a stunningly beautiful video was released via YouTube, in which we're showing you, which showcases the first level, which is a tutorial. Furthermore, the developer has unveiled some stunning new visuals of the game, of the game's elite drone, one of the full-blooded bad boys from the deep. Production of the game.
That thing is very cool looking.
It's rather cool, I gotta say. Although I'm not much for the underwater. See, that's the same thing. Mermaids are down there. I know it.
Protect your little pinky toe.
Stop it. Level is well underway. And RSS Studio has released a really cool mock-up of the level's current design on their Kickstarter page. It'll feature a variety of traps, some beautiful caverns, architecture, and will also have one hell of a dogfight, they say. The game's third level is massive and will keep you exploring and adventuring for a very long time. Fathom is being called unique, a blend of the market's most popular gaming genres, combined with an immersive story, addictive gameplay, mind-bending puzzles, stunning visuals, and an incredible score. And you can check them out on their Kickstarter page, which I will be tweeting out here shortly. Probably by the time you hear this, you will see the tweet.
That is really cool. Okay. Oh, my God. Look at that.
What is it with steampunk and underwater? That's like BioShock. Stop it.
That's awesome, though. Look at this.
I'm waiting for a good stormy night when, you know, when the power's not blinking to play BioShock again.
That I'm sorry, this is awesome looking when you're watching it. Okay, I guess I should pull out another story because I was
We got one more. We got time for one more. By the way, they've only reached a portion of their goal, so please help them out.
I'm going to continue running this because it's got, well, yeah, I'm going to continue running this. Y'all can watch it because it's got a little bit left. Ninth Circuit limits search of electronic devices at borders. If you own a smartphone, an Android or iOS-based device, or even a handheld gaming system or laptop, you no longer have to worry about having the device searched by a Border Patrol officer when entering the United States without some sort of reasonable cause. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has ruled that allowing border agents to search such devices violates Fourth Amendment protections. The court ruled that the information on such devices should be considered papers. The Fourth Amendment reads as follows. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, house, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Hey, somebody get on and use this because you should not be searching my computers, my internet searches, all this other stuff, because it is considered papers. Thank you. The ruling states that Homeland Security's border agents must demonstrate reasonable suspicion of wrongdoing before conducting forensic analysis of laptop computers and electronic devices. This is coming from Judge M. Margaret McCowan, determined the laptops, iPads, and similar devices can be considered offices and personal diaries because they contain the most intimate details of people's lives. A person's digital life ought not be hijacked simply by crossing a border. The good news is that the Court of Appeals has reaffirmed the Fourth Amendment protections should not be diminished in the name of national threats or security. It's something that our lawmakers and the White House might want to take note of the next time they push for new laws regulating the product of free speech. Hell effing yeah. Stop looking at my goat porn. It's mine. Corey's going to shake her head. I know she is.
I'm over here. I have stumbled across the site with some games I got to play. I got to do it. And I'm also wondering, when are these people going to be finished with the Vampire the Masquerade game? I'm waiting very patiently. I'm getting irritated now. I think about it at least once a day. I just want to play. Can I just play?
No, you cannot play. You're not allowed.
CCCP.
No play for you.
No, I need for you all to come on now.
No, you cannot play.
Why?
I don't know, but you shouldn't play.
I don't want to play EVE Online or just, you know, 541 or 514. I need to play with some vampires. I need to be a vampire. I want to bite me some people and have some fun with them.
No. Oh, and by the way, I can't, oh crap, how do you say that name? Cybon? Sure, something else. Anyways, Media Molecule, co-founder named Australian Woman of the Year in the UK. That's awesome.
Oh, no, that's Sibian. That's Sibian. We talked about her yesterday. Yeah.
Sibian Reddy.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, remember we did the Run the World yesterday? She ran the world.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that's right.
She forgot.
Girl, this week has been crazy for me. So, yeah, I did forget. They have a picture up of her on GamePolitics.com this morning. She is beautiful.
Isn't she? Smart and pretty.
She is. So way to go. Australian Woman of the Year. That's hot. How you doing?
Hey, CCCP, when will World of Darkness be done?
Corey's fiending. All right, well, we got like 1 minute left, so we're going to play him some music. We're going to...
Yeah, but first I want to know, hey, CCCP, when are we going to be done with that game?
Corey's like, give me my game.
All right, people, we will see you over the weekend somewhere, I'm sure. I got to reinstall APB because I realized last night that I had uninstalled it, so I could not go and cause any mayhem like I would like to have done.
I know, and you saw what I was doing. It was awesome.
Happy gaming to you as well. We will be around. I may come play some Sims so I can harass Joe again.
I thought I'd be
give them their kisses.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.